want to look at a word tonight that we don't like. One of the many I don't like. Suffering. Talked about it before. Suffering. A lot of times when somebody's suffering, going through a trial, or not necessarily physically, but suffering. In fact, we're going to look at three different kinds of suffering a little bit tonight. And one of the first things I hear sometimes is, why am I suffering? What did I do? Well, you didn't necessarily do anything. A lot of times Christians haven't sinned, haven't done anything, but we're in the world. And there's some, well, you're a driver, so you're exposed to other people's driving habits. And sometimes they do something that costs you. Maybe perhaps the Lord told us not to go there. Maybe perhaps the Lord said stay at the truck stop a little longer. But for whatever reason, we wound up in that accident that we didn't cause. We didn't do it. And we may suffer. Sometimes, though, it's because we brought it on ourselves. I can identify with that. From not listening to that still, small voice. How many knows that God speaks to us today? He speaks to our heart today. Speaks to everybody today. He speaks to the sinner. He speaks to the Christian. Because he's wooing that sinner, that person that's not born again. So he's speaking to them. He's drawing them. And then those of us who have accepted him as our Savior, he's speaking to us and trying to get our attention to direct us. But sometimes we don't listen, and thus we suffer. There's ramifications for sin that we do, either the sin of omission or sin of commission. In other words, we sin sometimes because something we did we shouldn't have done, but we can also sin by not doing something we should have done. Now, don't get in fear about that either, because I've had people say they're afraid to witness, Gene, because they're afraid to say the wrong thing. Well, it's wronger, if there's a word, wronger, more wrong to not do nothing. I feel like that the world assumes that I agree with them if I don't say something. Not condemnation, but say something. I got a CB, as Big Uncle used to say, CB means Christian Broadcaster. So I'm going to get on there and talk, long as God gives me breath. Other times, we suffer because God just lets things happen. You ever notice that? You think, well, what did he let that happen for? He could have stopped that. He could have done this. He could have done... We don't know. Ain't nobody knows that answer. Not all the time. There's times where we just have to trust God. Amen? Sometimes the answer is just not clear. Or at least wise for me. Now, you might have all the answers. I don't. There's been a few times in my life when my prayer was something like, are you sure you know what you're doing? And at the same time, I know he does. At the same time, right? We know he does. We know it's whatever he's doing. So we want to look at three kinds tonight. We want to look at physical suffering. We want to look at mental suffering. And also spiritual suffering. I knew there was a third one. First of all, physical suffering can be, it could have, we talked about an accident. We could suffer physically because we was in a wreck. Fall off the porch. Fall down in the snow and ice. For some reason, God didn't give me the ability to walk on ice. I reckon it's because I'm a South Georgia redneck. We didn't ever have none of that down there. But you can get injured and suffer physically from that. There's a story in 2 Samuel 4:4 where Jonathan's son was taken by his nurse. The nurse took the baby and was running and dropped him, and it crippled the baby. So somebody else's fault, so to speak. This guy suffered physically. Then it might be from birth disorders. Come on in. It may be we suffer from birth disorders. Tell you what, you got the New Testament there. Turn to, pick it up, look at John chapter 9. John chapter 9, verse 1. Let's look at that together, just a couple of verses. And here's a classic story I like to look at, and I've read it and I've studied it 1,000 times, I guess. But John 9:1 says, "Now as Jesus passed by, he saw a man who was blind from birth. His disciples asked him, saying, 'Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?'" You see, automatically, somebody must have sinned. That's what we all think sometimes. Ministry gets in trouble somewhere. Maybe financially, maybe they're struggling. We think, well, somebody must be sinning. Not necessarily. Could be they're doing a lot for God, you know. Well, what does he say here? What did Jesus say about this? In verse 3, he said, "Jesus answered, 'Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him.'" This was allowed to happen because God knows this child was born blind, right? But God knew on down the road. It don't say how old he is, I don't think. He said he was blind from birth. It don't say how long, but he was born blind. God allowed it to happen, if you please, because he could get glory out of it later on. He needed to do a miracle, and he needed somebody to do it with. So it can happen from birth disorders. And you know the rest of the story. God healed that. Jesus healed that guy. Remember that story? We could be suffering physically from Satan himself. One of the prime stories in the whole Bible about suffering is who?
Job.
That's right. Job. And forgive me, but a lot of people take that all wrong and blame God for all of that. Talk about what God did to Job. He didn't do any of it. He never done nothing. You better read the story, right? All he done was back off. Right?
Satan fishing
him. That's right. Satan said if you take your covering off of him, he's going to deny you, he'll curse you, he'll do this. And imagine God having that much confidence in you or me. Imagine that. If he said, "Gene won't never deny me. Do whatever you want to. I know he won't." Well, that's what he said about Job, wasn't it?
They said he didn't do anything to kill
him. In the suffering I was talking about, in Job 2:7, it says, "So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and struck Job with painful boils from the sole of his foot to the crown of his head." You've read that story. Golly. And we think we got it bad? A little persecution here and there, and we want to quit. We want to quit. We suffer, and you hear these testimonies, if you want to call it that, about suffering for God. We're not suffering. If we didn't have nothing, you know, we would be suffering, as much as some people do. And then we'll look at mental suffering. This is one of Satan's real strong points because he plays mind games with us. I have seen more than once, and you might have known somebody, that a divorce happened because Satan planted a thought in one of their minds and they could not shake it, and it never was truth. There was no truth to it at all. And you probably might even know, it might even be you. You might be the victim or the person, whatever. But Satan planted that little thought, and that thought grew into reality in their mind. So mental suffering is one of his strong things. And one of the things he really likes to do is put fear in us. He tries that with me all the time. I battle that all the time. He's always trying to get me to be afraid of something. Before I got saved, it's funny now. What funny then? I mean, black cats, ladders, I had claustrophobia. I was full of fear. But if you asked me if I was afraid, I'd say, I ain't afraid of nobody, right? But deep down inside, man, ask my wife, a black cat run across the road in front of us, and I do all but go in the ditch, try to keep him crossing his trail. Fear. Plain old fear. We call it phobias, fear. Satan loves to do that. In fact, 1 Corinthians 2, got a minute, look over there. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, tell me what page that is. I didn't write them down. Whoever finds it in the little Bible, 1 Corinthians chapter 2. In fact, we'll read 3 through 5.
166.
166, good.
165.
What verse? Chapter 2, verse 3. 65. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 3. Paul had to deal with fear. He said, I was with you in weakness, in fear, and in much trembling. And my speech and my preaching were not with persuasive words of human wisdom, but a demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not be in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. He said, man, I have fears in my life. What I want you to do is look at God. God is where the power is. 2 Corinthians 7:5 says, for indeed, when we came to Macedonia, again, this is Paul writing, when we came to Macedonia, our bodies had no rest, but we were troubled on every side. Outside were conflicts, inside were fears. Always dealing with fear. He may try to get you to worry about something at home when you're on the road and you know you can't get back there. I've been there and done that. What if this happens? What if that happened? Especially when the children was real little. I tend to worry about that. What would I do? I'm in New Mexico. How would I get there if something happened? Now, of course, when that comes along, after studying the Word for a while, I think, what if it don't happen? When he says, what if it happens, I say, well, what if it don't happen? Just as likely not to as it is to. But again, we get into this mental suffering because Satan playing mind games with us and trying to get us into fear. Get our eyes off of God and what He's promised in His Word. Listen, folks, this Word is true. This Word can't fail. But I can tell you this from experience, too, is, like I said before, missing God and going the wrong direction will cost you, and you'll suffer for that. That's not God, that's me. That's me. I lost my business in 1979. I won't ever forget that. I lost my truck. Of course, along with it went the business because God was leading me to do something and I didn't do it. I mean, it's just that simple. He wanted me to run this direction and I went that direction, so to speak. Didn't want to change what I was doing, but God was leading me to do something and it was still trucking. It was still hauling freight. It was just a different way. The different situation than what I was doing, and I didn't listen. So I suffered because I didn't listen to the voice of God. Of course, looking back, you could say, aha, that's when He was trying to do so-and-so, and I didn't do it. At the time, you're struggling trying to make a decision. One of the reasons this ministry exists is so I can be here, or we can be here, chaplains can be here to pray with you through those times, so you won't be alone. I don't want you to ever feel like you're alone. Those listening on the CD, that prayer line rings 24 hours a day. Somebody should answer it 24 hours a day, and I said should. Sometimes the heavenlies don't agree, so it's all cell phones anymore. But fear. Then the other thing, look at 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2, we'll talk about spiritually suffering. Spiritual suffering. Oh my. Spiritual suffering is when I allow something to get between me and God. I can easily laugh at somebody else or make fun of somebody else when they talk about gods or worshiping a god. I was reading the other day, I forget where I was at, I was reading about the golden image. You remember when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of bondage and into the promised land, and you know they stopped at a certain place. He went up on the mountains there, and it's in Exodus. He received the Ten Commandments from God. And you know, he was gone and gone and gone and gone and gone. So the people said, we need a God. You know the story. They built the golden calf. My question is, how'd they know how to do that? And how could you be so ignorant as to put your faith in a thing? That's like saying, that wall's going to save me. This trailer's going to lead us out of here. It can't go nowhere. It's going to sit right here. That golden image couldn't do anything. It wasn't alive. But now, just before I make fun of them, what am I trusting in? Who am I trusting in? Spiritual suffering. Spiritual suffering. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. Do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Ouch. That's smart. I don't know about with you, but it do me. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God does what?
Abides forever.
Doesn't matter. Apparently God doesn't read the New York Stock Exchange. He doesn't know we're in a recession. He doesn't know that times are bad. Well, yes, he does know it, but it doesn't bother him. Being the all-knowing God, yes, he does know it. But he doesn't worry about it. We suffer spiritually sometimes because we look around us at situation instead of looking at God. Remember the story of Peter walking on the water? Classic example. See, he was walking on the water. He didn't get out of the boat and sink right away. The Bible said he walked towards Jesus. What caused him to start sinking? Anybody know? Exactly. How easy that is to do, right? We're in the storms of life. I just got a praise report, by the way, from Nashville, Tennessee, the regional manager for TA, born-again Christian. And you know, the truck stop was underwater, including the chapel. That was the only one. Well, no, we got, started the only one we had a piano in. And the word there is was. It was a piano. It was 5.5 feet deep inside the building, inside the chapel. He said it was over 10 feet deep in the parking lot, water. He went home. They were out of town. He goes back home expecting, you know, house probably gone. Drove up there. It didn't quite get to his garage, let alone in the house. God just said, no, you're not going to do that. But if that house or that truck or that whatever is our God, we're spiritually suffering because it's just a thing. I got a friend of mine, that's his favorite word, it's just a thing. It's just a thing. Doesn't matter. A friend of mine is a multimillionaire, lives in another state. I mean, and if he walked in here, you'd think he dug ditches for a living or something. He's just an everyday guy. And I've been in his home many, many times. And way back then, it's many years ago, he would come home and he had three girls. And then they were real little. They're married women now. But way back then, and he would walk in and have what we call penny candy. And he'd hand them little girls a piece of candy and you thought he'd give them a 10-carat diamond ring. They were so glad to get that candy from Daddy. And the point I want to make is, they just looked at Daddy. Daddy's home. That's what counts. We need to keep our eyes focused on Daddy and not the stuff. Not the things in life. He said, don't love the world or the things in the world. I can tell you also from experience, he'll take it away. We start looking at it. You look around and it's gone. Whatever it was will be gone. Turn to 1 Peter 4. Let's read a couple of verses there. 1 Peter 4. as born again Christians, we need to prepare for war. In fact, Ephesians talks about a spiritual war that we're in. And it'll always be war. It's never going to change. It's going to get worse. I'd like to paint you a real rosy picture and say when you're born again, you have nothing else to worry about. It's, you know, everything's going to be fine. Well, that's not true. That's what's wrong today. Is we don't have our guard up. We think everything's going to be peachy keen. I don't have to do nothing but get saved. That's wrong. We're going to get attacked. In fact, when the enemy stops attacking, you better worry. 1 Peter 4:12 says, "Beloved, do not think it strange concerning the fiery trials which is to try you, as though some strange thing was happening to you. But rejoice." Oh man, I don't know if I'm here or not yet to that point. "Rejoice to the extent that you partake of Christ's sufferings, and when his glory is revealed, that you may also be glad with exceeding joy." Rejoice. Wow. What does it mean by suffering or partaking of Christ's suffering? What does that mean? Maybe the persecution we get as being a Christian. People laugh at you when you bow your head and pray over your meal. I mean, you may not hear them, but I'm sure at a restaurant somebody's looking at you and saying, you know, I did. I was one of those. I was the least prospect for a Christian because I thought there was all, well, we won't even go there. I tell you, in New York, man, I don't need that. Religion's a crutch. And all the things I hear today, I used to say. And I laugh when they tell me. I say, I used to believe that too. But I met Jesus one day and he changed everything. But he tells us basically, if we're suffering for, and I won't read all of that, but if you read on down from 12 on down in chapter 4, 1 Peter, he said if you're suffering because you're a Christian, you should be happy. You should be happy. You should be thankful. It's an honor and a privilege. You know, first of all, it's a great honor and a privilege to be called a born-again Christian. You ever think of that? It's an honor. It's a privilege. Some of these guys I've met, I'm not going to call their name, but in their circle, so to speak, they say, "Joe's a friend of mine." Well, that's an honor. Everybody knows that person. I could call his name, but I won't. Just about anywhere in the world. And you know, it makes your pride kind of swell up, you know. I'm a friend of so-and-so. But you know what? That ain't nothing. What we really should be happy about is the God of the universe. Our Heavenly Father says, "That's my boy. That's my girl." And we're going through persecution for that. The fear, the suffering, remember, it didn't come from God. Look at Romans 8. We'll close out with this. Romans chapter 8, verse 15. Romans 8, 15. By the way, we're reading out of New King James here tonight, so those Bibles are free. Take them with you, please. May read a little different from what you have, but it should be saying the same thing. Romans 8, 15. Romans 8 is one of my absolute favorite chapters in the Bible. It starts out saying, "No condemnation of them that are in Christ Jesus who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." Romans 8, 1, right? In verse 15 it says, "For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear." Wow. That spirit word is a little s. You notice that? Now watch this though. "But you received the Spirit," capital S. Who is that?
God,
exactly. "The Spirit of adoption, by whom we cry, Abba, Father." I'm told that word Abba is a personal term, like daddy. You know, there's nothing that tickles me anymore than to hear my children, my son's 41, my daughter's 35, and it thrills me when they say daddy. I don't know what it is about hearing that word. Of course, it's usually followed daddy I need, but that's all right too. But you know what? That just tickled me to death just to hear them say daddy. A lot of families, and maybe some of you, don't have a relationship that you'd like to have with your family. But you can have that relationship with God, because He will never reject you. He will never put you out. And He said, we didn't receive the spirit again of bondage to fear, but rather we have received the spirit of adoption to Jesus Christ. God is our Father if we've asked Him to come into our life. It goes on to say, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if, here's what I want to get to, if indeed we suffer with Him, that we might also be glorified with Him. What does it mean there, suffer with Him? Mean get on the cross with Him? No. It means being persecuted, ridiculed, whatever. Again, this mental thing. Satan will beat you half to death with it. And the reason I know that, been there and done that. I felt so low after losing my truck because God had given it to me. Like you can identify with, God's blessed you with this or that or the other over time. And I lost it. I made bad decisions and flat out lost it. I'd like to blame Satan for it, but I can't. I'd like to blame somebody for it, but I can't. I'd look in the mirror and that's the person that did it. And I felt so bad, I didn't even want to look in the mirror to shave. That's how bad I felt. And a young man whom we had had the privilege to lead to the Lord, who had been on heroin, and I won't tell you that whole story, don't want to bore you with it, but he was one of our, we call him our spiritual son. He lived with us for several years after that in our home. And Rob was in the hospital having some tests run, and I went to see him, and we didn't talk about none of my problems. My truck that God had given me was sitting over there on Moreland Avenue where everybody went by repossessed. They could have put it in the back of the lot at least. But no, sitting right out there on beside the road with Trucking for Jesus on it and the cross still on it and all that stuff. I felt like I'd let God down, and I did. I felt so bad. And he asked me if I had a particular teaching tape. And I said, yes, I believe I have that. He said, why don't you listen to that? Now, this is a guy I'm supposed to be mentoring, right? And I was. But I got news for you. It goes both ways. I went home and listened to that tape. And on the tape, the speaker said, a successful man is a man that can fail 20 times and get up 21st time determined to win. And I don't know what was about that statement, but it lit something up in my head. I thought, I ain't done it that many times yet. And from that day, I turned around and I said, God, if you'd ever trust me again, I don't know how you could, but if you ever trust me again, I won't fall into Satan's trap. I didn't say I wouldn't make mistakes, because I'm breathing, so mistakes are going to happen. And you know what? It wasn't but just about a month or two after that, I went to TA Truck Stop in Atlanta, Georgia to do a Bible study to, quote, see what would happen. And for 30 years almost, well, 29 years, been doing that. To God's glory, not mine. Not my strength. What I'm saying to you tonight is, you may be suffering physically, mentally, emotionally, any kind of suffering that you may have. God is the healer. And He can turn it around in your life. See, one of the things I had to learn, by the way, was sowing and reaping. Thank God for a giving wife. She was always a giver. I wasn't. My theory was, if we're struggling with 100%, how are we going to make it with 90 or less? Well, over time, God got my attention, and now we look for fertile soil to plant in. We don't give to everything that comes along, but we pray about it. And we find fertile soil and we plant in it and expect an abundant harvest. And when we do what, I said, when we do what God says, it's always blessed. Amen? We don't have the biggest house in town, don't want it. We don't have the newest car in town, don't want it. In fact, I was looking All of our vehicles got about the same mileage on it, Gene. Bumping 180,000, ironically. They're all right there together, so at least they'll go out together, I guess. But you know what? There's no fear anymore. There's no anxiety anymore. There's no more suffering because I'm trusting God. I don't know where you're at in life tonight. I don't know where you're at with God. I don't know what your life is like. But if you're suffering from any of this, one thing can do is back up and punt. Say, God, I'm not where I ought to be. If we're not trusting God, then we're not where we ought to be in any area. He said if he's not Lord over all, he's not Lord at all. You know, we make the statement, Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Well, that's backwards. He's our Savior. We learn to make him Lord. Think about that. He's our Savior immediately. When we're born again, that quick. But I don't know about you, but I had to learn how to turn it over to him. Lord means boss. Lord means I go ask him first. Lord means what would Jesus do? Remember that? WWJD? We need to apply that. So tonight I want to close with a simple prayer. And I want to ask you to pray it with me out loud, eyes open and heads up. If there's somebody in the room or maybe listening to this CD that needs to pray this prayer, it's as simple as saying a few words. It's not magical words. It's what's in the heart. Lord, I'm not where I ought to be kind of thing. So we want to close with that simple prayer tonight. I'd ask you in here tonight to pray that with me. If there's something in your life that shouldn't be, I'm not going to come around and ask you what you did or how you did or nothing like that. It don't matter. That's between you and God. But I can tell you this of a certainty. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I'm so glad of that. I am so glad of that tonight. Because it's not one time I need to ask him. It's every now and then. Every now and then I have to say, Lord, I messed up again. That don't mean I started drinking, doing adultery, or anything we could list. It means I just didn't do what God said. And the good part is a simple, I'm sorry, it's over. It's gone. He promised. So pray with me if you will. Pray. Let's pray this together. Heavenly Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus. You know my life. You know my shortcomings. And those you've revealed to me, I now confess to you. I ask you, Lord, to forgive my sins. Come into my heart. Not just my Savior, but be my Lord. I turn it all over to you. And I'll live for you to the best of my ability. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Amen.